you in the book of Judges. I'm going to the Old Testament, and last Sunday I also talked on keep your fire burning, and today I will continue on that message because I believe this is the only time that we should really prepare ourselves for the coming months ahead of us, especially for next year. We don't really know what is in store for us. There are many, many, many predictions that it's going to be hard. But I praise God that we believe by faith that God will take care of us. Amen? So, in the book of Judges, you know, after the death of Joshua, Joshua was not able to mentor another leader. And because of that, they have to select a judge for Israel. And that's one problem with Joshua, because he was mentored by Moses, but he never mentored someone to take over after his death. And so in Judges chapter 7, this chapter really talks about Gideon. You're familiar with Gideon? And if you are, then you know that I don't have to go into the background of the book of Gideon, but let's start reading in Judges chapter 7, and let us start reading in verse 15. In verse 15, and so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he would worship, he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midianite or Midian into our hand." Then in verse 16, and then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with an empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, "Look at me, and do likewise watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpet on every side of the whole camp, and say, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" So Gideon and 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp of the beginning of the middle watch, just as when they had posted the watch, they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, and they held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hand for blowing, and they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. Verse 22, and when the 300 blew the trumpet, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion and threw out the whole camp, and so the army fled to Beth Achaia toward Serat, as far as the border of Abel Mehilat by Taba. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless your word today for the reading of the word, that your people will receive your word, and that, Lord, your messenger will deliver your word, that there will be no philosophies of this man, of the world, or of the men, but, Father, that our faith should stand on the wisdom of God, not of men. In Jesus' name, amen. Just to remind you once again of the message last Sunday, I talk about keep the fire burning. And I mentioned that in order to keep the fire burning, you need two elements, and that is the log for the fire and, of course, the fire. In relation to our spiritual perspective, The love refers to prayer, reading of the Word, and meditation of the Word. And of course, the fire refers to the Holy Spirit. So in order to keep that fire burning in us for Jesus Christ, we have to have the two elements, and that is we will have to continue to pray, continue to read the Word of God, and meditate on His Word, and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, so that that fire that is within us will continue to burn. Now, why is, do you think it's so important for us to prepare for next year? You know that I'll be away for a while. I'll not be here for the Thanksgiving. So I'd like to greet you in advance. Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. And I can greet you personally for the Happy Valentine's Day. But then, what I'm saying is, we have to prepare for next year. Because many things can happen for next year, and we need the fire to keep on burning in our hearts. The only way that we can face the uncertainty of next year is that we have to be on fire for Jesus Christ, that we have to be on fire for the Lord, and that the Holy Spirit will continue and lead us and guide us along the way. So the title of the message tonight is The Fire of God. Now, you might ask, what is the relationship here with the title and the scripture reading based on Judges chapter 7, verses 15 to 22? Now, to give you a background, very short background about this, particularly this man called Gideon. Now, you know that Gideon was a weak man among his clan. He was very weak, and yet God has chosen him to lead the Israelites during the time. And you know that they were under the captivity of the Midianites during the time of Gideon, and Gideon was hiding every time they will harvest. They have to hide their grain because the Midianites will take all what they have harvested. And so he was stressing and he was hiding, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him, and the angel spoke to him and told him, "Man of valor, a mighty man of God, no." Father. And then he said, "Me, I'm the weakest in our family. How come that you called me a man of valor?" And yet God insisted to call on him because God has chosen him. Now, you might ask one time in your life, why is it that God has chosen me to this particular task that he has given me? I'm not really well educated. I'm not really very eloquent, but yet God has chosen you. And the Bible is very clear that God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the wise. And so Gideon, despite of him hearing from the Lord, still have some doubts. What was the doubt of Gideon? He said, "If truly you have called me, I will ask you for a sign." And you know the sign. He asked for the sign. And God gave him and fulfilled the sign that he asked. If you really want to know the details, read on chapter 6, 7, and then you will see there what was Gideon's request from the Lord. And so God gave him the sign. And then he finally believed what God said. And then in chapter 7, you will see here that God already instructed him how to defeat the enemy. So when God called Gideon to lead Israel against the Midianites, he wanted to show to them that a small army of 300 men empowered by God was more than enough and more effective than the largest army. Now why 300? You know that when God told Gideon to ask for volunteers, there were 32,000 who came and volunteered to fight against the enemy. And yet God said, that's too much. And so from there, it went down to only 300 men. Now, as I've said, continue reading about that because you will see what was God's requirement, that it all brought down only to 300 men. And so here again, Gideon was about to really embark a battle against the enemy, and the enemy were thousands of them. The Midianites were there in the camp, it were thousands. There were only 300 men of Gideon. But then God came up with a battle plan. God's battle plan, and God instructed Gideon. As you will read in this chapter of Judges 7, you will see there in verses 15, 16, and 17 that God instructed Gideon first to surround the enemy in three sides. Now, picture in your mind right now, the enemy were in the camp, and thousands of them were in the camp. And yet, God instructed Gideon to divide the 300 men into hundreds and then come up with only three sides. So in other words, there were three sides of 100 men per side against the Midianites, and they were in the camp. And then after that, and to give each man a clay pitcher and a torch or a lamp on it. Now the clay pitcher is really designed for, particularly for that endeavor that they will fight against the enemy. And then he instructed everyone to have a trumpet. Now you might ask, what is the relevance here in our own spiritual perspective, in our own life? Now we're not fighting like an enemy, like the Midianites. But today, you know that as Christians, we have an enemy of our soul. Amen? We have an enemy that we cannot see. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we are fighting against principalities, princes, powers of darkness. So we have an enemy spiritually. We may not see him, but we are fighting against an enemy. Because the moment you got born again, you turn your back from the kingdom of darkness now into the kingdom of light. The moment you do that, then you already have an enemy. And that enemy will try to pull you down and pull you down, and then you will go back to your old life, and that is the struggle every day. You know that the Christian life is not just after you receive Christ and then that's it. No, it is a continuous commitment to walk with God, because the enemy is still there. And the enemy will always try to get you and ask and convince you and tempt you to go back into the things of the world. And so here again, we can relate that we have an enemy that is also powerful. The Midianites was a powerful army. There were thousands of them against a number of 300 men. So we are facing an enemy who is also powerful. But we cannot fight that enemy with our own battle plan. It has to come from God. And so God gave Gideon the battle plan. And notice how they fought without weapons, which the world would really consider ineffective, yet they triumphed over their enemies. Now if you turn with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, this was Paul who was saying that the wisdom of the world can confound what God has said in His Word. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and then let us read in verse 3 and 4. This is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians. Praise God, there is such thing as first and second, or else I got it wrong. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's read in verse 3 and 4. Verse 3. Yet I have said the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain, in this respect, that I, as I've said, you may be ready. Lest any if some Macedonians come with me and you find unprepared, we do not mention you should be ashamed of this confident boasting. So in other words, in the eyes of the world, what God has instructed Gideon was really ineffective. But yet, Gideon obeyed God. Now remember, this time, Gideon was already tested. His faith was already tested. And he has already proven that he can trust God. Now it is very important for us that when we wage a warfare against our enemy, we have the faith in God. That's why the Bible is very clear that we can overcome the world through faith, and faith in Christ and faith in His Word. And so here, it is very important for us to have that kind of faith in order to fight or wage war against our enemy. Now, again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, it tells us that the wisdom of this world is not to confound the wise, but God uses the weak things of the world in order to confound the wise. So here God used this type of battle plan that in the eyes of men, it was really ineffective. Now, you might say, what is the relationship between first having the clay pitcher and then a torch within it, and of course the trumpet? I will show you the relationship in the natural and in the spiritual. The breaking, now remember, they were now in three columns of 100 men, 100 men, and 100 men facing the camp. Now they were going in that time when it was so dark, it was almost midnight, and it was very dark. And Gideon told the men to watch him, to look and watch, because the moment he will be at the edge of the camp, then that's the time that they will break the clay pitcher. Now, the breaking of the clay pitcher holds a powerful metaphor. The clay pitcher relates to our flesh, our outer covering. And the lump in the pitcher relates to the spirit, which is the light. Now, you know that man is a triune being. Man has a spirit, man has a soul, and man has a body. Now, when we are born again, we're not born again in the body. Amen? Because if you are old when you got born again, you will still be old. It's not that mean that you will become younger, but because you're old, if you're handsome, you're still handsome. If you're beautiful, when you receive the Lord and you're born again, you're still beautiful. If you're not so handsome, you're not so handsome. And so, when you're born again, it is not the body, it is not the outer man or the mind, but you are born again in the spirit. Because when we were in the world, our spirit is spiritually dead because we are separated from God. God is the author of life. So if we are separated from God, our spirit is dead. We have no communication with God. The moment we receive Jesus Christ, because He is the mediator between man and God, the moment we receive Him, the Holy Spirit will come upon us and regenerate our spirit, and our spirit becomes alive, and now we are born again. However, we have a problem. Our mind is not yet born again, and our emotions are not yet born again. And so, what we have to do is to work out our salvation. We have to work out that our mind should be renewed. That's why the Bible tells us that we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are being transformed when our mind is being renewed. Our mind is like a computer. The software that is in our mind in the old life is based upon the world. But today, when we are born again, our software should be changed. It should be renewed, and that is the Word of God can renew our mind. And so if our mind is renewed, it means that when we make decision, we have to check in the Word of God if it is based and aligned with the Word of God, so that when we make that decision, it is based in His Word. However, when we were not born again, most of us were really under the control of our emotions. Some of us were really under control. We cannot really control our emotions, because when we're angry, then we become so emotional that we cannot control ourselves, and we go into temper tantrums like a child, and you go into the tantrums, and then you cannot control your emotions. You shout, and when you do that, then it means that your emotions is not yet under the control of the Holy Spirit. So, but when you're born again, then slowly our emotions are under control. But yet, our body is still the same. The clay. Because the body is from the dust, it will return to dust. It's still clay. Doesn't mean that the body will no longer die. The body will still die because there is a decaying process. It came from the dust. And because of sin, it has to die. However, the flesh here is not the body. The flesh is really the sinful nature of man. So when I say here, the breaking of the clay pitcher holds a powerful metaphor, because the flesh, which is the outer covering, and the flesh is the sinful nature of man, has to be broken. Amen. Has to be broken. Now, when Gideon told the armies, the Israelites, to break the clay pitcher, the reason there is, when the pitcher is broken, then the torches, the light will shine forth. Now what's the importance there? In other words, what God is telling him, that once the enemy will see the light, they will be confused when they see the light, because they were in darkness. When they were in darkness, when they see the light, all of a sudden, they were so confused. But yet, after breaking the clay pot, then Gideon said, blow the trumpet. Now what is the significance again in blowing the trumpet? Blowing the trumpet really means that when they said the sword of the Lord and Gideon, the sword of the Lord, what's the sword of the Lord? That is the Word of God. So we will fight our enemy when we have the Holy Spirit in us that will shine forth in our life, and our outer flesh is broken. Then the Holy Spirit will be manifested, and then when the enemy will see that there is the light, what happens? Then when we blow the trumpet, the blowing of the trumpet means that we have to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, then the Word of God and Gideon, the Word of God, and we would be able to disperse darkness. Amen. When darkness is dispersed, then what happens? The enemy will get confused and the enemy will flee. Amen. Now it is very important for us to really understand the analogy here that we are using for this particular message for tonight. Now you will notice that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible is very clear that we are the light of the world. And the lamp that is put on the hill should not be covered. It should not be hidden. Unlike, our light should always shine forth. And that is the light of the Holy Spirit in us. And that's the reason why in last Sunday I talked about keep the fire burning, is when we have the two elements in our life, which is prayer and Bible reading and meditation and the Holy Spirit, then that fire that is in us will keep on burning. And when we are on fire for God, then we are now able to preach and witness and tell the world that Jesus Christ is alive and well. Amen. So again, you will notice that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, in 1 John, and this is very important for us, because really, if you go into this particular scripture, you will realize that Jesus Christ came as the light. Now, although John the Baptist, in this particular scripture, I go to John chapter 1 first, and then I'll read in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. And all through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light with which light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Now here it tells us that Jesus Christ is the light. Because in verse 4, it tells us, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so therefore, what I am saying is, if we have Jesus Christ in our life, and if we will break the outer man, which is the sinful nature of man, then the light of Jesus Christ will shine forth by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we will blow our trumpet. This time, it's not really the trumpet, but we will blow and declare that Jesus Christ is alive and well. And when we do that, then the enemy, hallelujah, the enemy of our soul, when they know that we have the light in us, and that we were able to break our outer flesh or outer man through the flesh, then we will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the enemy will be confused, and they will have to flee. This is what happened during the time when Gideon instructed the men. The enemy were confused when they saw the light. Can you imagine, in the midst of darkness, and all of a sudden there was that light, and then with that light they started to blow the trumpet, and then they shouted the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The enemy were confused, and because they were confused, they fled. And the battle plan was very simple, and yet, in the eyes of men, and of course in the world, it is ineffective, but yet, because God was behind that, then it worked mightily, because God wanted to show to Gideon, and also for us, that we don't need this kind of weapons in order to defeat the enemy. What we need is the Word of God, and that which is the sword of the Spirit. And when we have that, then we can declare who Jesus Christ is. Because Jesus overcome the world through faith in Him. So we are not fighting flesh and blood, but we are fighting principalities and powers of darkness. And the Bible is very clear also that our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty, pulling down the strongholds. They're mighty, pulling down the strongholds. That is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. And when we blow the trumpet, we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, then we know, verse 21 and 22, then we know that the battle is won by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so you can relate now. You know, when you read the Old Testament, there is always a spiritual insight in the Old Testament. to the New Testament into our life today. It's very important to relate what happened in the Old Testament, and it can happen to us today because these principles are still the same. And what is the principle that we can get out of the scripture that we have read? The first principle here is not in the outline, but first, we have to have faith in God. When we have the faith in God, we know that God is faithful and God is powerful, and we are able to overcome when we have that faith. That's why the Bible is very clear in Proverbs that we have to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We will not lean on what we know. We will not lean on our own understanding. But in all our ways, we have to acknowledge Him. Meaning, we really have to trust Him, to rely on Him, not to rely on what we know. So the first thing that we need in order that we can truly fight the battle against our enemy is to have faith in God. That's the reason why Jesus Christ, when He was telling His disciples that you have faith in God, when you have faith in God, then you can win the battle. The second thing is that we have to proclaim, because Jesus said, you can say to this mountain, the mountain could be anything that obstructs us in having a relationship with God. So you can say, you can speak forth the word of God. So therefore, the second thing is that you've got to blow the trumpet. Blowing the trumpet means you proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Then when you and me will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, then the enemy will flee. In fact, the enemy will flee because of the word of God. If you will remember, I'm going out of my outline now. Because you're looking at it, I'm going out of the outline. You will remember when Jesus Christ was tempted in the desert? The enemy, Satan, tempted him in Luke chapter 4. The enemy first tempted Jesus Christ in the area of hunger, food, and appetite. He said, truly, if you are the Son of Man, make this stone into bread. What was the response of Jesus Christ? The Word of God. And He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then Satan again came and also tempted Him. And when He was tempted, that He will go up into the steeple, and then He will jump, and the angels will charge over Him. And then He quoted again, thou shalt worship the Lord and Him alone. When Satan said, if you will worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world, because it was handed over to me. Jesus Christ responded, you will worship only God and Him alone. In other words, what I'm saying is because of the power of the Word of God, the enemy has to flee. If you read further, you'll notice that the devil or Satan left him for a while, waiting for the opportune time. So when we are tempted, go back to the Word of God. When we have problems, you go to the Word of God, because the Word of God has the answer for everything. When we read the Word of God, we know that the Word of God will give us the right answer, because God will reveal to us that Word. Amen. You know, when you read the Word of God, you will have different revelation from Him, because God has a way by which He will reveal Himself to you through His Word. Because if you do not read the Word of God, then it means you can never have any revelation from God. That's why we got to read the Word of God. In our daily reading, if you want guidance from God every day, read the book of Proverbs. Today is 21. Proverbs 21. Read Proverbs 21, because in Proverbs 21, you see there the guidance every day. That's why read Proverbs every day, because you are being guided by the Word of God every day through His Word. If you want to praise and worship the Lord, go to the book of Psalms, because the book of Psalms talks about worship, talks about praising God. And so when you read Psalms, then you are worshiping God. If you want to know more about Jesus Christ, Go to the gospel. If you want to be taught by the teachings of Jesus Christ, go to the epistles. If you want to know historical books, you go to the Old Testament and relate that into the New Testament. Now, if you are if you don't have hope in your situation, you know that one day you will be with the Lord, you read on Revelation. Because Revelation 21 tells us that there will be no more tears, there will be no more crying, there will be no more sickness, and we will be with the Lord forever. And so this is what the Bible is all about. And so when we have that, when we blow the trumpet, blow the word of God, or the sword of the Spirit, this is the word of God. And then thirdly, it's not only breaking first the pitchers with the Holy Spirit inside us and blowing the trumpet, but thirdly, not only by faith, not only by the word, but you've got to act on the word. Amen. Because the Bible is very clear, let's not only be hearers of the word, but let us be doers of the word. And so the Midianites, if only they have known the plan or the battle strategy of God, what God was doing, they would probably laugh at Gideon and his army. But they didn't know all about the plan. They were caught unaware. The brightness of the light and the sound of the trumpet won the battle. Because they were confused and they have to run for their lives. And what is this for us now in our own personal life as Christian? You know that we are living in such a time as now that there is darkness all over us. In fact, the Bible describes it that we're living in such a time as perverse generation. We are witnessing the perversity of this generation today. Before we cannot hear such thing as same-sex marriage. We can never hear that before. We'll never hear that. Today, it's getting to be common. Before, we never heard about abortion. And now, it is very common. Even in the Old Testament, also the God of Molech, they were killing children. And yet today, this becomes very common, and the world is being tolerant to all of these things that are not based in the Word of God. And so we're living in such a time when there is perversity, a generation of perversities. And you hear a lot of rumors of war. You hear a lot of the economic problem, not only here in America, but all over the world. If you will read history, that during the time of Hitler, they had all the tons of money, because they had all the money, but the money was worthless. The time will come, if you will remember, but you were not alive during the time, during the Japanese time, maybe Brother Ruben or myself. I was told that during the time, when you buy a bread, you will have baskets of Japanese money in order to buy bread. And because there was no value. And if we will continue the way this world is doing, then eventually there will be no value of what we have. But God is telling you and me that we've got to prepare ourselves for the year to come, for the years to come. We have to prepare, and the only way that we can prepare ourselves is keeping the fire burning within us. If we will do that, then we will be able to face the uncertainties of the years ahead of us. And so, therefore, if I have to conclude this message tonight, the first thing that I would like to really ask each one of us is to break the clay pitcher. This outer man or the flesh. Now why? Because if we will not do that, then we will go on living in this world and we are manifesting the works of the flesh. Turn with me in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 19. This was the time that Paul, when he wrote to the church in Galatia, he wanted to encourage them and tell them that you are no longer in the flesh. So, you are now in the spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh. If we will not break this clay picture in our life, the outer man or the flesh, then we will have the works of the flesh. For the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, which are fornication, which are uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like which tell you before. And just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What does it mean for us? If we will continue to live our Christian life without breaking the clay. Now, what do you really mean breaking the clay? It means that if we will break the clay pitcher, it means that we have to be broken and we will submit ourselves to the will of God in our life. Because if we will just continue living without breaking the clay in our life, it means that we are doing our own will. We are not submitting ourselves completely to God, to the will of God in our life. It means that we are not denying ourselves. Jesus Christ told His disciples, you want to follow after Me? Deny yourself and carry your own cross. What is your cross? Your cross is carrying your cross of denial. You've got to deny the self, because we are taught in this world to be selfish, because it's always me, me and mine. And that is the world. And Jesus said, deny yourself and carry your cross. That is breaking the clay path. When we do that, then the life of the Holy Spirit that is in us will be manifested, and people around us will notice that light, and they don't really understand what is in us, because they see that there is something different, and that is because of the light of the Holy Spirit in our life. And because we are no longer walking in the flesh, then we will not have the works of the flesh. But when we allow the Holy Spirit in our life to shine forth in darkness, then people will notice that there is something different in us. Because in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, then when we will do that, the fruit of the Spirit will be manifested in our life. Then they will see the light. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, peace, long-suffering. I emphasize long-suffering. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Then when people will notice that fruit, then they will be attracted. That is, they'll be attracted to the light, because they can see the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in our life. This morning I made an illustration of a fisherman at night time. The best way to attract the fish is when you have the light. When you have the light, the fish will be attracted, because they are in darkness. I remember my grandfather he was a fisherman. I go out with him at night, we will carry with us Petromax. Do you remember that Petromax? And when we have that, we carry it, we pump it first. Pump it and then light it, and then we will put it on top of the boat, and then slowly the fish will start to come in. And what is the significance? when you have the Holy Spirit in you, when you break the pitcher of clay, and the Holy Spirit will shine forth in your life through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, people will get attracted to you. They'll come closer to you because they will see that there is something in you that they cannot experience in their life. They can see the joy of the Lord in you. They can see the peace of God in you. In the midst of confusion, in the midst of problem, you are still at peace with God. When they see that you have self-control, you control your emotions this time. You don't go to temper tantrums. You don't scratch your head or your hair and bang the wall because you are now in control. Amen. Because you are now in control with your emotions. Amen. And then they will see kindness in you. They will see the gentleness in you. They will get attracted to you because the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit is in your life. Then after that, you blow the trumpet. What's blowing the trumpet? Then you share the good news. And when you share the good news, you share the Word of God. And the Word of God will not return void. Amen. When you speak forth the Word of God, it will always accomplish for what God has desired for that Word. And when you do that, then you will be able to really live this life. A life that is on fire for God. And the fire of God that is in you through the Holy Spirit will be manifested in your life. And so let us continue to meditate on this scriptures tonight that we have read, and most of all, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Blow the trumpet, the proclamation of the good news. And the good news is Jesus Christ is alive and He is well, and He is still in the business of saving lives. And if we do that, then we are on fire and we have the fire of the Holy Spirit in our life. Another analogy that I made this morning, and I would like to do it again tonight. As the winter is approaching, some of you are still using the traditional way to keep yourself warm. You have a fireplace because you want to see the sprinkling of the fire and you want to watch the fire. The only way that you can keep that fire burning is continue to put logs and separate the ashes, and the fire will go on until it keeps burning. In order for us to be always on fire, to be burning all the time for Jesus Christ, is we have to take away the ashes in our life, that the fire will continue to burn, that the Holy Spirit will work mightily in our life. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank the Lord for tonight. We thank you, O God, that you have spoken to us through your word. I pray, O God, that each and every person that has heard your word tonight will meditate on this word of God. Because, Lord, we know, Lord, that as we meditate in your word, you will reveal yourself real to us. We thank you, O God, that tonight, as we have heard your word, Lord, you have spoken to us. Lord, you have used me to be a vessel to deliver the message. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's just all.